Despite the measures, protests continue in some towns and universities. One Egyptian analyst says the crackdown is working and that protests to reinstate ousted Islamist President Mohamed Morsi have become smaller and less frequent. Gamal Sultan is an associate professor of political science at American University in Cairo. He questions the designation of protesters as students or journalists.
When we say students or journalists, we're talking about non-ideologically committed groups of students. Actually, they are Muslim Brothers students. When we talk about journalists, we talk about Al Jazeera, and unfortunately, Al Jazeera has been an integral part of the political conflict in Egypt in the past few years. And Al Jazeera now is in the wrong side.
He says reconciliation between the Muslim Brotherhood and the military-led but secular government is out of the question in the short term, though Al-Nur, an Islamist party cooperating with the military, will be on the ballot for parliament. Saeed Sadek, an affiliate professor of political sociology at American University in Cairo, says the Muslim Brotherhood is using protests and riots to derail the referendum.
If there is a high turnout, let's say 25 million out of 51 million or 52 million registered voters, this would be the official death certificate for the Muslim Brotherhood and Morsi's regime. As you know, the Muslim Brotherhood had been in existence since 1928. This is the biggest political Islam movement in the world, and so their failure would also affect other movements in the Islamic world.
Sadek says the government's increased powers to detain and arrest are temporary and may well change when, in his view, the Brotherhood is defeated.
We are in exceptional circumstances, and you must take lots of measures. Our neighboring countries are failing states, and now there is an internal organization that wants to destroy our army and police to exert whatever power they like through the secret militias. There are no human rights for those who do not believe in human rights.
Recently, Egypt's interim president, Adli Mansour, suggested that the presidential elections come before those for the legislature. Sultan says it's a good idea because parliamentary elections can be divisive, and many of the parties that support the military-led roadmap to democracy may fragment. He sees an elected president lending stability in the lead-up to the parliamentary polls. Others are more critical of the military-led transition. Naeem Jina is the executive director of the Afro-Middle East Center in Johannesburg. He sees political manipulation behind the choice of election dates.
You have the election of a strong president who would be able to sway the country, and then the president dictates the timetable and the rules for how the parliamentary elections take place. So essentially, you will then have a parliament that is beholden to whoever the president is. And if the recent kind of propaganda is anything to go by, Sisi is going to stand for president, and he will be that kind of strongman president, which really the continent has been suffering under for decades.
Jina says the current crackdown does not affect the Islamists, but anyone who disagrees with the military-led ouster of former President Morsi. He says the standoff is not between Islamists and secularists, but between those for and against the military-led intervention. He says among those imprisoned by what he calls draconian anti-terror laws are secular activists and journalists. He says the laws are meant to silence critics prior to the referendum on the new constitution. Analyst Mohamed Amos El-Nasri says polling data continue to show that Egyptian society is largely split. It may be due in part, say some, by a one-sided media environment that does not seek reconciliation. El-Nasri is an assistant professor and the graduate director in the Department of Journalism and Mass Communication at the American University in Cairo. He says both the media and government routinely suggest the Brotherhood is treasonous and un-Egyptian and have praised massacres of Brotherhood protesters. As an example, he referred to the killings of hundreds of protesters at Rabah al-Adwa camp outside Cairo by security forces. The government said troops fired in self-defense.
After the massacres in August, which were condemned in very strong terms by all of the human rights groups, Egyptian media were praising the government-instigated violence. And actually, one of the private networks here on TV was showing footage of the dispersal of the largest protest while playing the Rocky music, the music for the movie Rocky, in the background.
El Masri doubts that the proposed new constitution will restore civil liberties, despite articles that promise freedoms. He says the constitution under former President Hosni Mubarak, who ruled for over 30 years, also guaranteed press and personal freedoms. However, those promises were replaced by what he calls draconian laws, which remain on the books today.
Another problem with the proposed constitution is that the Minister of Defense is going to be essentially the most powerful person in the country. His appointment must be approved by the military. The president cannot remove him, and his term is 8 years long, which is twice as long as the president's term.
El Masri says democracy cannot develop in an environment of systematic exclusion, a repressive legal framework, and military domination. Others say what Egypt needs is stability and evolution, not revolution. They say a government headed by a military-backed president and a multi-party parliament is a step in the right direction. I'm William Eagle in Washington.